I am here. How's it going, everyone?
I believe everybody's muted. So here's what we're going to do, guys, for those of you listening, if you've just joined us here. I'm going to attempt to attribute each question that was sent in from the person who submitted it. We've kind of taken the liberty of maybe consolidating some of the questions if they were similar. As far as follow-ups, clarifications, one-on-ones, that kind of thing, we can address that afterwards. But we want to try to keep this moving and not have everybody here for an inordinate amount of time. So obviously, Court Bauer, the CEO of Major League Wrestling, he brings over 20 years of industry experience to the table, having worked with most of the wrestling industry's major talents over the last decades. This, again, the first ever MLW media conference call as we head towards Saturday Night Super Fight on Saturday night, November the 2nd, on pay-per-view from Chicago. So we'll get right into the questions here. We've got a question from Jason Powell, ProWrestling.net. And, Court, he wants to know, after a number of live specials on BN Sports, the last show was not live. Why is that? And are there any more live broadcasts planned?
Yes, there are a lot of live broadcasts planned. It just comes down to a network logistics thing. They want more. We want more. We will have our next live broadcast in November. I can confirm that. As for, doing stuff like streaming them on fight.tv, we're definitely looking into something like that on a digital platform. When? Stay tuned.
How many pay-per-views do you think that MLW is going to hold in 2020?
We're exploring a few different options for future pay-per-view events and how to offer them. We might do what we're doing now. We might do something a little different. We've had a lot of demand to live stream our TV tapings as a whole and air those as IA pay-per-views for fans that want to have that access to a live window inside the taping. We're talking with some potential partners about some interesting collaborations, but bottom line, there will be pay-per-view in 2020. How many? What's it look like? We're deep in the process of zeroing in on what's going to be next for that in the discussion, but we're in the hunt right now to zero in on those details.
Mark of Slam Wrestling, this is a question here that we got from a lot of people. Obviously, there's a lot of wrestling out there right now. It's a very, very crowded space. And getting attention for MLW in that crowded wrestling world, getting respect for MLW, given the clearances in homes, that type of thing, what's the plan to keep that moving forward?
Well, you know, as a promoter, you have a lot of tools on your tool belt for getting attention, getting awareness out there. It's very competitive. You can do something shocking. You can do a big stunt. You can sign a guy to a ton of money and say it's a huge deal. You can bring in celebrities. My game plan is really just stability and quality. That's paramount to me. One of the strategic advantages we have in this very competitive landscape is having a weekly series in English, but another in Spanish that allows us to target first, second generation Mexican-American. So we don't really try to compete as much as just find our own, our own sandbox to play in. We try to do things differently a little bit, whether it's culturally. I think a lot of fans haven't had their jam. It's very specific, zeroed in on a very specific quadrant of fan base, a very diehard fan base. So I think there's a lot of fans that aren't just represented. So we're trying to find a way to infuse culturally something different into our programming, whether it's the type of music, the presentation, and I think that's been speaking to our fan, and that's a different, it's a different lane for us. And that's how we compete. We don't try and play in the same sandbox as everyone else. It's too crowded. We made our own.
Devin from the Hannibal TV, his question here, and I'm going to follow this up with another one as well, but are there any plans to get on TV in Canada or hold an event in Canada in 2020? And likewise, we've got a question from Pedro of The Record. He wants to know if MLW Fusion en Español is going to be available in Latin America anytime soon. So kind of two of the similar questions there.
Well, being Canadian, I know this is very important to you. It's not a matter of if, but when. It's just it's something we want to go, given the roots of our talent. Guys like the Hart Foundation, it's definitely one of those countries that's on the top of our list. There's some red tape due to some of our talent's prior transgressions, so we've had a bit of work to help get them cleared, but it's on the board for 2020. I don't know. We're working on that. you know, some of that is really out of our hands. It's that we're at the mercy of the government and the process and the red tape. If we want to go into Canada, but we want to bring everyone we can. So there's a little bit of a logistical issue with that. What was the second question?
Latin America, MLW Fusion and Espanol, will that be available in Latin America anytime soon?
Okay, and you know what, I also should mention that BN airs in Canada. We've had some talks with a few networks to further expand our coverage in the country. No timeline, but you know, it's a fertile region in terms of media rights, tickets, and merchandise for us. Historically, it's been a no-brainer for everyone probably on this call. We know it's an important market, so we'll be getting there. Just, you know, that's a different aspect of the operation that we're attacking right now. As for MLW in Espanol in Latin America, yes. Deals move a little slower down there, so I can't realistically give you a timeline, but we're in talks.
As far as right now, MLW Fusion with BN Sports, and we can expand this to the pay-per-view coming up, Saturday Night Super Fight. Correct me if I'm wrong, but BN Sports is available in Canada already, isn't it?
Yeah, it bleeds into certain parts of Canada. It's probably not in every province, but it has coverage, especially on the East Coast.
So as far as the pay-per-view goes, being able to watch this, I know it's a traditional pay-per-view. There's a streaming aspect to it, but can you just kind of take us inside that, kind of how that's all put together and where people can watch Saturday Night Super Fight?
Yeah, it's going to be available worldwide on Fight.tv, and you can pre-order at MLW.tv now. It takes you right over to the Fight TV page. It's not a simpler way to get there. And then it's available on all major cable carrier satellite telecom companies in the U.S. and Canada. So just search us, and we'll be available, whether it's DirecTV, Dish, Comcast, you name it, we'll be on that platform. We're all about eyeballs, and if you anywhere in the world, you'll be able to get the show for $19.95.
Darren from the Paltercast wants to know, is there an accomplishment so far that MLW has reached that you're the most proud of at this point as to where things stand?
I'd say probably closing our first network TV deal with BN was huge. Without that deal, we probably would have never done more than a few shows in Orlando at Gilt Nightclub. We wouldn't be able to put talent under contract. That was kind of like the big bang for the league to really grow. That enabled us to sign talent. And it's allowed us since then to kind of weather a fairly volatile competitive landscape. And along the way, you know, hit milestones like producing live TV. And that's allowed us to then open up international. It's been the engine that's helped us sell out Cicero Stadium, Chicago, Dallas, Philly, and all these other markets. The other moment I would say that I remember, it was more of like a speech from this past July in the locker room. It was our third consecutive sellout in Chicago. And we've always sold out in Chicago. We've been blessed by that. And I was thanking, you know, the crew, the talent in the locker room, the people behind the scenes for helping make MLW what it is. And then sharing the news at that moment that our next op was pay-per-view on November 2nd. And, you know, morale was high, but now it was on cloud nine. You just feel like, all right, this thing is really growing. It's doing these things because, you know, pay-per-view is still a massive milestone for any company in a fight game. And to say this is the next chapter, it's happened because of you all made this little thing from Gilt Nightclub, this big now national thing with, you know, TV in 14 countries. We're not so little anymore, and that was very special to me. I think Rich got disconnected, so stand by, guys.
Hello, can you hear me?
You're back. Way to bury our first call here. It's very unprofessional.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. My phone's on the fritz. No, but you mentioned 14 countries, and you mentioned some of the TV deals worldwide. Can you just talk a little bit about that? I know that obviously we're on in Israel, in the UK on Free Sports, and elsewhere. You just signed a deal, I believe, in South Africa. Can you talk to some of those deals and how that has moved things along?
Yeah, you know, that's part of the next phase we're in now is growing internationally, growing our global footprint. And we're now in 14 countries and growing. So we're going out to Sportel. We're going out to MIPCOM in October and shopping MLW to over 10,000 people in television around the world. Content is king, and that is a big part of success and fuel that has allowed MLW to thrive and be a stable, you know, stable property. We're in 9 countries alone in Africa, thanks to our deal with Star Times. Star Times is a huge media company out of Asia, and we're going to be announcing some more deals soon. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but you know, our plan is to get this in as many countries as possible. I mean, it comes down to any promotion at any point in time. To eyeballs and content deals now more than ever. And that's really the play here.
How has the deal gone with ITV? With Free Sports in the UK. Is that an emerging market? Is that something that you see growing and potentially a tour doing dates over in the UK?
Yeah, it's possible. We've had a few people come to us, a few companies come to us looking to do those things. If the deal's right, we'll do it. If it's not, we're not going to do it. Right now I just got the numbers for the last week, and MLW beat one of WWE's TV shows for the week. So that blew my mind. You know, it was by maybe 1,000 or 2,000, but it's a win. And that's a huge triumph to me for this company that doesn't have, you know, this massive empire behind it to be able to make that kind of impression, and just tells you the appetite in the UK, in Ireland, for pro wrestling. It's always been there, but now they're really enjoying having MLW and other companies to select from.
Adam from Otherworldly Culture sent this question in, and we've got other similar questions as well, but the strategic partnerships with groups like Crash, Pro Wrestling NOAH, how has that helped MLW grow?
It definitely has 100% helped us grow. It has grown our profile in Mexico and in Japan. Strategically, we want to kind of craft a game plan to create an inroad for media rights deals in these countries. These are key countries for us. And the first step in the country is building your profile for the fans, for the media industry. They need to become aware of the league. From a programming point of view, for MLW to extend access to NOAH and soon Lucha from the Crash on MLW programming, that adds a new dimension to the league's presentation, but also for fans and how we showcase our rivalries. We can now have connective tissue from a matchmaking and creative point of view in different promotions around the world. And so that programming we give you, it's not just from the U.S. We injected a match or two of Hammerstone from Japan recently on the show, and just gives it a different complexion. And I like that. It feels very global in scope. And then, you know, from the wrestler perspective, it's benefited them, you know, by working in a different system and being showcased in a different positive manner, being able to get that many dates and expand on their schedule. That's very helpful for them. Hammerstone spent a month over there and just came back. And during that time, you know, yes, you know, the opportunity to work there is great. But just to be in there with that caliber of talent allows them to level up and be at a different level mechanically as a wrestler. So to be able to offer that to our athletes, gives them, I think, extraordinary appeal or gives us extraordinary appeal when recruiting as well, when we can say, hey, you know, it's MLW, we can put you in X amount of millions of homes on national TV here in the U.S. and Canada and Puerto Rico. We're also on these different countries. However, we can also give you dates potentially in, you know, through our sister promotions. Strategically, that's a great opportunity for us.
A number of questions as well that obviously are curious about contracts and, you know, different partnership deals. Jason Powell, ProWrestling.net, says you've got some talent under contract. You also have deals with AEW. If both companies have a show on the same night, do you have first option on those with mutual deals?
Yes, we have first option. That said, we have a really healthy relationship with AEW. I think Tony Khan would agree. Sometimes a logistical thing has and will pop up, and we'll just jump on the phone, and in 2 minutes, usually, we figure out a mutually beneficial way to solve the issue, which, you know, for promoters, you know, you never know how that's going to be, but we have had incredible open lines with Cody, with Tony, and the entire team over there. Hell, one time, I can tell you that, for example, once it came down to, like, I was, like, on a fishing trip, and there was an incident coming up, and we jumped on the phone. I was out in the Atlantic Ocean. Even out there, Tony and I were able to get things done pretty quick, and that was, you know, that was great. You know, the talent wins, both leagues win, and, you know, of course, I unfortunately had a bad fishing day, but that's another story. But, you know, I think people probably want there to be some animosity between the two organizations because that's been kind of the history of wrestling. You have to, you know, go to war and stuff, or there has to be some weird tension, but there isn't here. And funny story, I've been interviewed by the media once or twice, and I've been given these, like, loaded questions, in which I'm supposed to, you can tell, you know, smash AEW, and my response has been to give my genuine feelings and fondness for Tony and Cody and the guys. And guess what? They never ran those quotes. I guess it's not sexy, but the truth was, you know, I really do want them to succeed. I want AEW and MLW to succeed. It shows that there's a bigger world beyond our industry, that there's this share of the market that is completely viable and appealing that isn't WWE. For 20 years, frankly, probably longer, you know, WWE has had a massive grip on the market share. And for media rights, licensing, advertising, you name it, they've owned it in the wrestling space. And that narrative needs to change. If we're not successful, that's bad for the fans, the talent, the crew, the health of our business. Is there going to be some big world war between promotions? You know, maybe that's where this goes. Maybe it doesn't. Are there strategic alliances? Maybe there are, maybe there aren't. And I know the fans will enjoy that. So will the media and maybe some companies, but, you know, I gotta say, Tony's a great guy. I genuinely like him. I like Cody and all those guys. So, right now it's been great.
Gary Cassidy, from a couple different places here, Sports Gita and Dropkick Discussions, he sent in this question. This is maybe a little juicy here for you guys. The question says, recently MJF said that he's allowed to compete both in MLW and elsewhere because, quote, Court Bauer knows where his bread is buttered, unquote. What do you have to say about that and MJF's role in MLW?
Well, you know, he's actually seen me eat, so he's not. You know, to be 22 again, and please, no one Google what I was saying at 22 when I first promoted MLW. You often shoot before you aim and realize, uh-oh, I just shot a bigger predator in the woods, and now it's coming for me and flat. But, no, I mean, MJF on the mic and in the ring has incredible instincts. He's a bit of Buddy Rogers and Eddie Gilbert and Candido and Blanchard. Anyone can see this guy is money. But what you don't see yet is this guy one day, trust me on this one day he's going to be a hell of a booker, mark my words.
What can MLW offer to aspiring wrestling talent looking for a place to shine that some of the other places can't right now? And that comes from Steve of Angry Marks.
Yeah, you know, MLW is a system that has a pretty good track record for being an incubator for young talent to develop and thrive, not just here in MLW, but if you look at myself, my team, and what we've done elsewhere, be it, you know, my time in WWE and working, developing and creating characters like Umaga, or when Dr. Tom Pritchard was training The Rock and developing, you know, basically a lot of the guys you saw throughout the Attitude Era and into the 2000s, FCW included, Alex Greenfield and doing his wild stuff on SmackDown, MSL's time in the Southeast developing young talent. You know, we all have different approaches, and it's a pretty open world to experiment in. And we have fun in our wrestling labs. And along the way, I think, you know, we're able not only just to invest in the talent, but enable them to be the best they can. So, you know, we're obviously a business, but we don't have that same rigid corporate structure. We like to get the talent's input and kind of freestyle and develop something and just see what works and constantly experiment.
I had a question here from Wilf of Brainbuster Radio, and this kind of goes to the talent sharing, if you want to call it that. But with the deal with Pro Wrestling NOAH, do you think that there would ever be a tour between MLW and Pro Wrestling NOAH in the States?
it's out there for us if we want it, and I think at some point it could happen. The bottom line for me is, one, timing. Two, if I can find a way to mesh that with what I'm doing from a matchmaking point of view, so it's just not a novelty, hey, we're coming to town, we're doing with Noah. To me, it has to go beyond that creatively. And a lot of promoters have a tendency, I think, to, and it's a mistake, to just shoehorn in an event and, hey, we're doing something together, and it doesn't feel like it's really something beyond just a one-off temple. And then they leave, and it's like, well, okay, that happened, and it feels a little bit creatively diminished in terms of the presentation. It feels abrupt. It doesn't, I don't think, in the long-term enrich the product or long-term goals. So it's got to complement the game plan for me. And I think it can. It's just the conditions must be right, though. So it's kind of like, you know, it's out there for us. We'll see what happens. And if it makes sense and it's a good thing time-wise, sure.
I'm going to bring it back around to the upcoming pay-per-view in a second. But next week, we will be in Tijuana, in Mexico.
This Saturday, yeah.
Next Saturday in Tijuana, the Crash and MLW teaming up. Can you kind of just tell us a little bit about how that came together and kind of what the plans are? Is this, you know, a full Crash show? Kind of how's that working?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a historic night for us. You know, we're delighted to co-promote our first show in Mexico with the Crash. Nacho and his team are fantastic. We hope to have possibly as many as 5,000 fans in Tijuana, which would shatter all of our records. And, you know, while on the topic of Mexico, I want to take a moment to send my well wishes to Mance Warner. Mance suffered a collapsed lung over the weekend on Saturday night, and he's on the injured list effective immediately. There's no timeline on his return, but we hope to have one soon. He's a tough dude, and he'll be missed in Mexico. He was originally going to be in a tag match with Savio Vega versus Damian Safe and Jimmy Havoc. And that will most likely be turning into a triangle match between the three instead. So, you know, those things come up, you know, we just want Vance to be healthy again. So we're taking that step by step. As for the car, it's a great car. You know, we started to have conversations with the Crash this spring. And I really was impressed by just how they used not only great lucha talent, but talent from around the world, England, the States. And so it just felt like a good fit for us. And I've worked with other companies in Mexico, and this one just felt like a really good fit for where MLW was today and where we're going to go tomorrow. And in fact, around 2015, I almost did some stuff with Crash before MLW when Conan was involved with the Crash, and they were looking to do a TV series, but ultimately I didn't get really involved too much in that. But it's great to work with them now, and it's going to be a fun, historic night in Tijuana. And just the amount of talent that we're going to have on hand, it's going to be fun. You know, the Hearthstone Foundation will be there. Hammerstone in a tile versus tile match with Ray Orus. The main event, which will be promotional, is Dorado versus Contra Unit in a trios match, will be fun. It's going to have a different feel than the usual MLW show by design. It should. And so I'm looking forward to some of the select matches being featured in October on MLW Fusion.
Couple other things before we go back to the pay-per-view. We've had a number of questions about a potential women's division. It's something that's been teased. Where are we? Where's MLW with the women's division? And you know, what can you tell us? You know, what can we expect coming forward? Is there anything on the horizon or what?
Yeah, we are in the works on that right now. Actually, like, across my desk is a contract to look at. You know, we're tracking to bring the women's division online by the fourth quarter if we can close a few of these deals. I don't want to give you a specific date, but it's coming. It's coming into focus right now. As for what to expect, you know, an emphasis on athleticism, fighting spirit. These are fighting athletes, and to me, it's really important that they're positioned as such. I mean, that to me really is important with this, because I think a lot of time that aspect of the presentation doesn't happen. It's important to me. I think, you know, our goal at the division is to, you know, we want to feel global in scale and in competition. We want, you won't see us packaging women in this glossy Kardashian way. I'm inspired by athletes who have, you know, transcended the sport or sports in general, be it like a Serena Williams, you know, Hope Solo or FloJo, not to date myself, but, you know, it's that kind of presentation that I want. you know, it's important, I think, how we differentiate ourselves from other women's divisions. You know, I think it's important to showcase the journey of a female athlete, and it's a distinctly different one from what else is out there. This has, you know, been a historically predominantly male-dominated sport over the last 130-plus years. Yet, women have from Japan to Mexico and America, have authored some of the most cutting-edge matches, and, like, my mission is to show that to the world, to be able to show a new generation of women doing that, and to do it through a prism of sport.
Turn our attention to the pay-per-view, and specifically, this is a question that I'm actually curious about. Who is my broadcast partner coming up for this pay-per-view on November the 2nd?
Oh, so you sent in that question yourself? No,
yeah, I did.
Well, you're assuming you're going to be part of the team right now.
That is true. We have not confirmed that.
No airline tickets have been booked. No, we haven't made our full assignments yet, but Rich, you can breathe easier, or maybe harder, knowing that you will be one of the commentators for our historic night out there in Chicago on November 2nd. I also want to welcome AJ Kirsch officially to the MLW broadcast team. We're deepening our bench as we continue to grow. We're going to be doing a lot more in terms of programming, and we just need more depth, you know, between scheduling and just what we want to do for different projects. I have Rich, who's been phenomenal, day one guy. And Rich, I can't say enough about you. And early on in the MLW days, we do these insane 36-hour-long post-production edits in Orlando. And he'd be right there with us in these late nights and, you know, weary-eyed, bloodshot, just trying to get through an edit to make the best product available to everyone. And so, you know, Rich, it's been such an honor to work with you, have you a part of this. You know, you are, you know, a big part of the broadcast team. And so you're kind of anchoring this thing, no matter who your dancing partner is. And so whether it's going to be Tony Schiavone in the future or AJ Kirsch, you know, we have a nice little opportunity to just present different guys. You know, Tony's call is totally different than an AJ Kirsch's call. And the Rich Bocchini call. And it's nice to have that variety now. You know, as you grow, you need more flexibility. And this way you'll hear Tony, you'll hear Rich, you'll hear AJ moving forward, which is going to be fun.
We've got a couple questions about Cornette, obviously a very controversial figure. I enjoyed working with him. What's the story on Jim's future?
Did you enjoy driving with Jim Cornette?
I actually did, believe it or not. I actually did enjoy riding.
Probably the best podcast that never will air.
Exactly.
Jim came into pinch hit for a certain amount of dates when Tony could not make a few dates due to his commitments that were carved out in his contract. And Jim fulfilled his last date with us July 6th. So as of right now, we don't have any future dates with Jim. But you know, he's always a wild card, right?
So as we head to the pay-per-view, the match that's announced, the big one, is L.A. Park cashing in the golden ticket. Of course, L.A. Park, part of Promociones Dorado, headed up by Selena De La Renta. We can talk about Selena in a second. But he'll be chasing the World Heavyweight Championship, Jacob Fatu, the Samoan Werewolf of Contra Unit. Can you just tell us a little bit about those two guys and why them? Why the spotlight on those two guys?
From a matchmaking point of view, you know, styles make fights, and these two are arguably the best, wildest brawlers in the game. Just wild, completely unpredictable, and I think that'll keep the action moving, but it's going to be unpredictable out there. From a business point of view, you know, Park is one of the biggest iconic luchadors in the game right now and has been for the last, like, quarter of a century, so he's been, you know, one of the guys featured during the heyday of AAA on TV in the U.S. and in Mexico. He's been in Arena Mexico and on their TV. And, you know, historically, he's been a huge driver in ticket sales and merchandise for us in virtually every market. But also, you know, his matches always tend to spike really high in the ratings on our MLW and Espanol weekly series. So, you know, he checks off a lot of boxes as a challenger, and, you know, he's had a hell of a run so far. In fact, he's undefeated in singles competition. So this is a real battle of the monsters, and I like building those kind of attractions. You don't do them all the time, but when you do them, they really should feel like King Kong versus Godzilla. You know, people forget that in many markets, LA Park is a super baby face for us, to the point where if you watch our product, you'll see fans throwing money in the ring, offering him the Mexican flag, wearing his mask, wearing LA Park t-shirts. And he's an icon. And so November 2nd, you know, it's a totally different play, because I think people think, oh, you're going head to head with the Canelo fight on DAZN. Well, the issue there is DAZN is not converting the Canelo fight fan to a DAZN subscriber. I mean, that's one of the biggest stories about DAZN right now. It's like, if you look at what the Canelo fights were doing on pay-per-view versus what DAZN is doing in terms of subscribers, it's not even close. So if an observer says this is a concerning scenario, I would counter with, well, Canelo isn't doing the business behind the DAZN subscription wall he once was on pay-per-view. And two, you know, like with something like UFC on ESPN, you know, the deal there is pay-per-view companies are right now are thriving, and they're giving me a lot of ad dollars for this show. Pay-per-view needs to meet MLW to be successful. They need to counter-program DAZN. They need to counter-program ESPN+. And there's a lot of energy surrounding that weekend, but for the pay-per-view companies, the game plan is they want to be about their business, not DAZN, not ESPN Pluses of the world. And I think that'll strongly benefit us. Just the ad dollars alone, if we do zero pay-per-view buys, which I hope we don't, but that will just give so much exposure, so many people awareness about MLW that we exist and this is what we're about. And more people will discover us because of that marketing push by the pay-per-view companies. And LA Park being an institution in Mexico will perhaps hook them into buying the show as he challenges for the title, because, you know, a subscription to DAZN is $19.95 or something like that. A pay-per-view is $19.95. And then, of course, UFC is, you know, $64 or something with, you know, factoring in the ESPN Plus subscription. So, you know, I think we're in the hunt. And again, I think now more than ever, when it comes to MMA, there's less and less of a crossover than there was maybe 10, 15 years ago. When I spent my time in MMA, I could see it starting to dial down. It wasn't what it once was. Like, MMA fans were MMA fans and some crossover, but it's far less than it was in like 05, 06, 07.
Can you talk about Selena De La Renta a little bit? She has been a breakout star as the head of Promociones Dorado. She's involved in, you know, every major storyline pretty much that's happening. She's involved, and she, at 22 years old, she's really done a lot to step up and try to learn as much of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Can you just tell us about where she is right now as a star and where you see her star going?
The first talent I ever signed in Major League Wrestling was Selena De La Renta, and there's a reason why. She has it. She is a prodigy. Just you tell her something once, you don't have to tell her again. Great instincts. She has a real desire, a real appetite, and she can execute. So, you know, she has the passion, she has the talent to back it up. And when you realize she's only 22, you realize, oh, my God, like, what's she going to be like when she's 25, 26? So there's been a few contracts we've restructured to get more years on them and reward them more for their work and their performance and their commitment to us. Selena's been one of those. And there's definitely others. And, you know, we're very proud of her. She not only is on air as Selena De La Renta, but behind the scenes has a pivotal role in the company, as well as making history as the first Spanish female announcer to call weekly pro wrestling. She does that for our MLW in Espanol series on BN in Espanol every Monday. So she does take a very hands-on role. We do have her involved in the production of her episodes where she's the exec producer. She does have her touch to those episodes. And so, you know, we like to empower young, ambitious, talented people, and she's one of many.
Who else in the company do you see as potentially being the face of MLW? Right now, you could argue that it's Fatu, you could argue that it's LA Park, but you know, who else in that lineup do you see as being the guy or the girl, perhaps, that you're going to lean on going forward?
I think you could have definitely made a case for Selena over the last year. You know, she's probably had more TV time, had more of a focus than probably many. But in general, I don't like to single out anyone. I believe more in an approach where it's more of an ensemble. I think it's a dangerous proposition just to have one guy be your guy. Over, you know, if you look at the 80s, 90s, and beyond, it's like once that promoter loses his guy, the whole business is like a house of cards and falls. Because your whole thing has the whole persona of your league is based around one guy. You've cooked it that way. So I do more of that ensemble approach. So I have what I call the Fusion Five instead. And it's kind of a, sometimes you rotate a guy in or out, but more or less it's about five people that I focus on.
Question here from Steve from SoCal Uncensored. It had been mentioned before in February 2020 that MLW would be headed to Los Angeles for Super Fight 2. The change to Philadelphia, is there a reason for that change? I know things, you know, it's wrestling. Things change at the last moment. But is there a plan at some point to invade Los Angeles or invade the West Coast?
It was an arena routing issue, but we're in talks. In fact, I have a contract for a date here on my desk. So we're deep in talks to enter the LA market. You know, as we're promoting an event on the West Coast, dude, we're co-promoting a show in Tijuana this Saturday, just south of San Diego. So technically we're there, and we have a game plan to expand on the other side of the border as well. I can't give you a specific date, but we have a venue, and it's just it's a matter of just figuring out when in our schedule for 2020 we're going to get it in there.
I just wanted to mention the pay-per-view one more time. So November the 2nd, it's available on Fight TV, which is a streaming option. It's available on regular pay-per-view, just regular over-the-air, DirecTV, your cable provider, that type of thing. Is there anything I'm missing as far as places where you can watch, like PlayStation View? Is the pay-per-view available there as well?
No, right now the only way to get it digitally is going to be Fight.tv. They have a great service. Mike Weber and his gang over there are doing a great job, and we want the user to not have some sort of wonky experience. So, you know, Fight TV's standards are incredibly high. So I recommend everyone just get your, if you want to do it streaming anywhere in the U.S., anywhere worldwide, go to Fight TV. And they have an app for Roku and I believe Apple TV, Google Play, and get it on your phone even. So I would highly recommend getting the Fight TV app if you want to stream it.
Is the price for the pay-per-view going to be the same on all the different TV providers? Or do they have some say, like, is it $19.95 on Cox and, you know, $29.99 on whatever else? Or is it
right
across the board $19.95?
There's only, like, one carrier that automatically marks it up. I believe that's DirecTV. We have no control over that. I believe they mark it up. I don't know if it's $5 or $10 off the top of my head, but there is a slight markup.
Any other matches that you could tell us about the pay-per-view that we should be keeping our eyes out for?
I think, you know, there's a lot of question marks about Teddy Hart and how he's doing physically after what went down with Austin Aries. But, you know, if cleared and he's healthy, I think there's a good possibility we can make that dream match a reality. But kind of hinges on his day-to-day meds and where he's at physically. And if he's able to do it, we'll do it. But there's some other matches we're going to be dropping in the next few weeks. In fact, this week on Fusion, this Saturday, we'll probably have another match announced.
I think I've covered pretty much all the questions. Cor, I don't know what your time is like here. I don't know if we have time for any follow-ups or if you want to do that or if you got to run or where we want to go from here. If there's anything else I missed that you want to get in.
Yeah, there was two questions I saw jump on my Twitter that I just wanted to tackle that I thought were interesting. One, you know, as a fan, I always like these kind of questions too. You know, will there be an MLW video game? And I can say in the last 3 months, I've turned down two opportunities for a video game licensing deal. So yes, I want a game, but I've also played some horrible wrestling games with my ears. So I don't want to just do a deal for the money grab and say, hey, check it out. We got a video game. It has to be the right deal with the right distribution and the right, you know, the right game engine. And yes, the right money, but, you know, you don't want to just do it and then you go and play the game and it's like, this sucks. And just, you know, the rep for doing games sucks. So that's really important. And then the other one just tied into that was, do you think there will be a MLW wrestling figure line at any point? And I'll just say that we're starting to have those talks now. We already have a Teddy Hart, Mr. Velvet, Persian cat and doll. I think Richie may have six of those that's coming out. I never thought I'd say that, but you know, here we are. We have a Mr. Velvet stuffed animal. So that's something that's interesting. And that's the kind of stuff we want to do right now, is just continue to grow our business, whether, you know, the core business right now is international expansion, media rights, those kind of things. You know, our business compared to 2018 is up significantly in a lot of key areas. Our merchandise is up 900%. We really owe that a lot to, of course, our popularity and our audience growing, as well as we brought in some talented people, including one that worked in Major League Baseball, and he's done an incredible job of revving up our merch and our business overall in that section. And there's always been a demand, and I hate leaving money on the table. And now 2019, we're not doing that. We really have expanded our offerings both at MLWshop.com as well as at the events. We have a lot of event-exclusive items that you can only get at our events. You know, and our business, even at the arena level, has been up significantly. We've sold out at, to date, 87.5% of our events. That smokes 2018, which is good, but you know, since we've gone on the road, and you know, going on the road can be dangerous. You know, it's like, well, a lot of people, you can lose money, but we've been very cautious, very careful with how we've gone about opening up these key markets, and we've seen big growth in attendance and volume. I mean, Philly ticket sales went on sale this morning for our February return, and they're doing great. So that, media rights, growing internationally, these are all things that, you know, are good indications of the health of our business. I'm very happy with that. And, you know, we're constantly having talks, whether it's streaming deals. We recently, as you said, you know, we're on PlayStation View. We're constantly having talks, and you know, that's a big part of what we're doing right now. And our success story is just, of course, it's going to be on streaming a bit. And that's the next frontier for us. So that's a major priority with the league and our programming offerings. And so we want to be able to offer MLW, whether it's Fusion or other programming, to as many people as possible, digitally, traditionally, on cable broadcast as possible. And so that, and like I said, international is just a big part of the business. So that in general is what we're focused on, and that's how the health of our businesses. And I think it's important to probably share that as well, because everyone wants to know that aspect. You know, you can talk a bit about the pay-per-view, the characters, the creative behind it all, you know, but what's the health of the business?
Court, do you want to take a couple minutes here, and you know, we've got a handful of people. Do you want to take some one-on-ones, or do you want to do that later somehow?
Yeah, we can take a few.
All right. If there's anything that we didn't touch on, just feel free to unmute your phone. Just please say who you are and fire away with a question. Don't all talk at once.
Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press *6.
Question for Court. Oh, Court, we might not have to. Court, you're still there.
Q&A session is over.
Court, are you still there?
If you have a question, press *2. I'm sorry. If you have a question, press *6, and it should get you in the queue.
Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press *6.
Court, I seem to have lost you. Can you hear me?
I'm here.
You can hear me?
Yep, I think we have our first question.
I have the first question. What time does the pay-per-view start on November the 2nd?
8 p.m., we possibly might have a pre-show that's live. We'll have that worked out soon.
So it'll be 8 p.m. Eastern on November the 2nd. Okay. I don't know. Did anybody else have questions? Or I lost you there for a second. I couldn't hear you, so I'm not sure where we're at.
Yes, hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Hi, this is Tom O'Donnell from the Catch, Hook, and Shoot podcast. If I could just go back to, you were talking about having a good relationship with AEW as far as mutually contracted wrestlers. Is there any potential down the line for any kind of crossover, for example, like possibly seeing Holiday and Hammerstone backing up MJF and AEW or anything like that?
we haven't really gotten into that depth of conversation. You know, they're launching their TV series and we're expanding our TV. So we really haven't gone beyond some key items. So haven't had those discussions yet.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate that, Tom. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Bill Pritchard from WrestleZone.com.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, how are you? So I wanted to ask, originally you had scheduled a Philadelphia date for June 1st. It got pushed back to December, which now we're seeing with the 2020 date in February. And it was announced as a holiday show. Can you maybe get into the reasoning for the changes and if there's plans for any other holiday theme show back on the schedule in another market?
We just had, like an arena routing issue. So, you know, we love Philly. We sold it out. Naturally wanted to get back there. Just scheduling things and when we can open up those windows on our end, their end. And so we already have returns scheduled for later in 2020. So we should be more consistent in the market. As for a holiday theme show, you know, if it makes sense, sure. I can confirm that we will be doing a spin the wheel, make the deal in October. So stay tuned for that on Fusion. We will be doing a Halloween special show. We'll be also probably doing a Thanksgiving centered special, possibly Thanksgiving night. We're working out those details right now.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Anybody else?
Yep. This is Mark from the Blake and Sal Show podcast. I have a question. Down the road, is it possible that MLW will have its own Hall of Fame like other organizations have?
You know, I wish there could be a unified Hall of Fame. I think that would be great. As for who would be selecting the entries, that's a whole different ballgame. But I think the idea of a universal or uniform Hall of Fame would probably be the best thing for everyone. There's a great Hall of Fame out west that I've heard great things about from Jerry Briscoe and Jim Ross. I think it's in Iowa, maybe, Rich.
Waterloo, Iowa, yeah.
Right. So, like, that's interesting to me. I don't really have an interest in hosting one myself because I think it's just, you know, once a promotion does it, it gets to be weird. You know, it's probably over our capacity at this point to do it.
Stephanie from Steel Chair Magazine in UK. I quote, wanted to know about your roster because you have very many veterans and at the same time young talents in the same roster. How is the atmosphere and the way of working between all of them?
That's a good question. It's very collaborative. You know, I think naturally talent love working other guys and other women from different regions because there's a different style. So it gets them out of the norm in terms of how you present a wrestling match. And I think we're like Minoru Tanaka, when he came in earlier this year, everyone lined up to wrestle him because, you know, he has a background in shoot boxing. He has a background in strong style, and he can also fly. And it's just a different dimension to a match. And same with Lucha. I think a lot of people love wrestling guys from out there. And same with Jimmy Havoc from the UK. It's like, yes, he is a wild brawler, but he also can do some pretty sweet stuff from a scientific point of view that he doesn't get to showcase as much as I'd like. And I know he likes to do some once in a while, just bust out some cool stuff. And so that's why I think it adds a different dimension when you incorporate international talent. It just gives it more of an opportunity to do something different from the wrestler's point of view, do something that changes it up a little bit. And it's such a small world we live in where, you know, everyone's very familiar with everyone's work, where we had Adam Brooks from the UK from Australia. He came in to work Austin Aries in Milwaukee, and everyone was just thrilled to see him in the locker room and have him be a part of the locker room. So we're looking forward to actually having Adam back. He'll be joining us in the spring again. He'll be coming back over. So we're excited to announce that. That's an exclusive for the call.
Appreciate the question. I think we have time for probably one more. Anybody else have anything they want to get in for court?
Hi, it's Mark from the Blake and Sal Show again. Any plans on beefing up the tag team division?
Yeah, you know, I think right now we have some pretty decent depth, but we're always looking. You know, you have the Von Erichs, you have Contra, you have Injustice, the Hart Foundation, which has like a million versions. The same goes for Contra, Gringo Loco, and Airwolf. But we're always looking for different guys to see what would fit and what would work. And I think there's going to be at least probably one act coming in soon that will continue to keep things cooking.
Court, we had a question here. They wanted to know about, this is Jason from ProWrestling.net. He was curious about Akira Kwan. Is he a full-time member of Contra Unit, or was he brought in more to kind of fill out the War Chamber match?
He is. He's a full-time Contra member.
Time for, time for one last question here, if anybody else has one.
Hey, I'm here. It's Mike Johnson from PW Insider. How are you guys?
Hey, Mike.
What's up? I wanted to ask about the timing of the pay-per-view. What led to the decision to run early November, and how long were you looking at dates before you locked one in? Like, what was the ramp up like before the official announcement was made?
We were looking in the hunt probably since Philly Super Fight in last February. We started thinking, well, you know, we kind of set the table, and I think a lot of people thought that was a pay-per-view, not a free live special on BN. So when we saw that, like, maybe we should, you know, check that out and see what we can do there. And that started the conversation. And then by late spring, we were pretty deep into, well, November was clear. We were given the okay by the pay-per-view companies that they weren't going to put any pay-per-view up against us from a boxing point of view. So we'd be bumped to the secondary pay-per-view channel, which would have been catastrophic. And then when they gave us their commitment and their ad dollars, that made it feel like, okay, we're going to jump in and do this. November for us felt, it gave us enough of a runway without getting into the holidays to get this thing in for 2019. So that's kind of why we went with early November. And from the creative point of view, knowing that where we were tracking in the late spring, that felt like a good time for everything to culminate, where we were going to take some of our bigger matches and be able to hit our mark on those for the pay-per-view.
All right. Thank you so much.
Let's do one more question. It's not quite 2 o'clock yet. Does anybody have anything else? Anyone at all? Time for one last question.
Hi, it's Mark from the Blake and Sal Show podcast again. Do you have any scouts that are looking for more second and third generation pro wrestlers?
No, you know, it's not like we go out there and say, let's have all these legacy wrestlers come in. You know, just the way it kind of we ended up doing it for different reasons. Every instance was a different situation. We brought in Teddy. It was a very short term plan. And then, you know, within about a week, I was saying, hey, let's give this guy a shot. And Brian Pillman's introduced along with Davey Boy, who was started with MLW when he was 18 in the early 2000s. And was cramming for a midterm. He was still in high school. He was a senior in high school at the time. So, you know, everything was just different. Like the Von Erichs, I think a lot of people think that we signed them after the Vice special. We actually had started talking with those guys around January of 2019 and, you know, just talking through things, and contracts took a while. And then just as we were about to announce it, we find out there's this Vice thing about to drop. I'm like, well, I guess we'll hold off. And then when we saw how that Vice special, the last Von Erich, played out, it was very emotional. And it kind of gives you a new hope. And knowing that the sons are now going to take up the mantle and be the next generation for the family, that kind of just worked out perfectly. So there's never been this real game plan and way to identify MLW as kind of like the place where all the talent converge from maybe second, third generation wrestling lineage. But that's just the way it kind of just happened to be. So, you know, in that regard, it's worked out fine. Scouting wise, you know, we have scouts, guys like George Carroll and MSL that go out there and look at talent. I look at talent a lot of the time, actually, on social media. more often than not, and I'll find someone and then just have our wrestling operations team go out there and take a look and engage them and see what we got. So you know, I'm blessed with a great crew.
Stephanie from Steel Chair Magazine again. In your wildest dream, whether it was and wherever I wrestled, would you like to, more than any other, have in your company, which wrestler?
From outside our company? You know,
any other company or legend, whatever, would want people who would die for to in order to have it in the company?
Oh, wow.
Oh.
You know, if I had my pick of anyone, you know, free agent wise or available anywhere, that's a tough question. I mean, I would say some of the guys you look at that are obviously some of the biggest stars in the history of the game. Steve Austin, you know, comes to mind. Just an incredibly dynamic performer and a great brawler. And given that we're entering Dallas often, I would have said, you know, bartender, give me a double shot of Stone Cold because he's the real deal and his track record's phenomenal. So I think he'd probably be my on the top of my wish list. You know, you can probably run down guys from Japan, guys from different countries and stuff, and here in the States as well. But I guess I'm going to give a diplomatic answer of a retired wrestler. That's probably not the ballsiest answer, but nonetheless, you know, Steve is a phenomenal guy, and yeah, I'm glad another generation's getting to see Steve now as he's done a little bit more with WWE over the last few months. Rich, you there?
Yeah, I'm. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm not sure where we were because I was on hold for some reason. Where are we at right now?
I think you're taking it on.
All right, then. I guess that's it. Court, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but obviously if any of you guys that are listening want one-on-ones with Court or myself for some reason, we can set that up. Obviously, if there's any talent that you guys want to talk to, just let us know, and we'll make sure that that they're available for you. Court, I just have one last question for you. Just to touch on this one more time. It's such a crowded landscape. Why should somebody give MLW a shot coming up on November the 2nd with Superfight?
You know, wrestling right now is in a special place because there's so much to offer from everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's something out there. MLW is different. You know, we showcase different styles, hence the fusion name from our series on BN. Culturally, there's no other product out there that celebrates hip-hop like us, be it Wale, Maybach Music, Spiff TV, and others contributing to the product. I think it's all long overdue that has a focus, but also, you know, MLW celebrates pro wrestling as a sport. Our goal is to be a product that fits within the realm of combat sport, but in a heightened pro wrestling reality. You know, that's why some people say it feels a lot like a throwback. Sometimes people say it feels like ECW. Sometimes people say it feels like Mid-South or World Class or Georgia or Jim Crockett. You know, we spend a lot of time in our wrestling labs experimenting every week and find different creatively fulfilling things. And you never know what the product's identity could look like. We just try to do something different. You know, we don't go after the jaded fan. That jaded fan is not our fan. That fan is serviced by a ton of others in the marketplace. When you go to an MLW event, you see a lot of people on dates, first and second generation Mexican-American families, you know, cranking their air horn because they're experiencing a piece of the homeland and celebrating seeing luchadors main eventing and being properly featured. A lot of our fans used to watch and maybe fell out of the sport, and I call them the lost fan. They don't really they haven't seen a product like this in a while. And, you know, our product, we can't afford to be that Disney-fied and glossy WWE product. And they do a great job of delivering that. Quite frankly, we couldn't and shouldn't do that. But our product, you know, isn't the one that winks and tells you you're in on the joke. It's just something different, and it's a different fan base. And it feels like a sport. We try to have that heightened sense of reality. It doesn't really try to feel scripted. We don't have a creative team. We don't have writers. We don't give scripts. We collaborate with the talent. We want the talent to be part of that machine that gets their persona across and gets them over to the best of their ability. We're here to facilitate that. So we just try to do something a little different, and little by little, just grow that and grow that and be the little engine that could. And slowly but surely, we're becoming a bigger engine. 14 countries, growing and outperforming in places I never thought we would, like in the UK on TV, selling out every show we've ever done in Chicago. It's incredible. And I think the best is yet to come. And I think the next milestone for us is pay-per-view November 2nd and doing more live TV in 2020 and beyond. And so you're going to be seeing a lot more of MLW in the years to come. And it's been incredible to take this journey. I've never had such a creatively fulfilling journey like I have on this odyssey. And I never thought I'd be talked into doing the league. But I was by Wale and MSL back in Orlando in 2017. And, you know, we couldn't be here and doing what we were doing without the fan support and incredible talent in our locker room and the media coverage. You know, when I originally was promoting in the early 2000s, the media wasn't what it is today. The coverage, the questions, the quality of the coverage, major media outlets covering MLW and pro wrestling as a whole. It's such a different landscape, and it's amazing to see that appetite. And so because of the media's coverage, there's more people aware of MLW. There's more interest because of MLW. You're taking our story and giving it out there to the masses. And we're looking forward to giving you more access to us. And so next week, for example, we're going to have Tom Lawler on. Tom is going to have a pretty big focus at Super Fight, as well as Orlando, November 9th, when he will wrestle Davey Boy. But you'll be finding out his Super Fight opponent soon. And as a former world champion and a guy that's been in the octagon, really interesting guy, very insightful. And we're looking forward to having him on next Monday as our next guest. But in the meantime, I'd encourage you all to probably grab some caffeine, because you guys are in for probably a wild ride in the sport this fall. Between everything going on in the world of wrestling, you know, you guys are in for at least an abundance of different stories to cover. And I thank you for considering MLW as one of those stories.
All right, Court, we appreciate the time. Again, everybody, it's November the 2nd, Super Fight live on pay-per-view from Chicago. Again, if you do want to get a one-on-one with Court or myself or any other MLW talent, feel free to let us know, and we'll set it up. With that, that's the end of the call. Thanks so much for joining us. And if you do want audio of the call, just to remind you, this will be put up on MLW Radio later on today. I believe it'll be up. I'm not sure how long that'll be, but feel free to link to it. Feel free to use the audio. And get in touch with us if you guys need anything. So thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.